People have been wanting a sports episode, so let's get to it. Hey, it's Drew from 99.3 Moose FM, West Nipissing's best music. Hello and welcome to Fascinating People, the show where we grab somebody from the West Nipissing community or someone who has impacted our area and we chat with them about what makes them fascinating. Here is the philosophy of Fascinating People, just in case you don't know. Everybody is fascinating. You just have to get them to tell you how. And it wasn't hard for Tanya. We had a topic on the show a couple of weeks ago. Tanya called in, and somehow the conversation went to roller derby. And we chatted for about, I want to say, 6 to 10 minutes before I realized, wow, we have to get her on this show. So we talk about roller derby, what it is, how you play the sport, how her team, the Bombshell Bobbers, came to be, and how roller derby affected her life. Before we get to that conversation, I just want to remind you, if you're fascinating, which I guarantee you are, and you'd like to share your story or there's somebody's story that you think should be told on this show, send me an email, drew@moosefm.com. Let's see if we can't work something out. But for now, let's welcome Tanya, or as she's better known in her social circles, Trouble.
My name's Tanya. I play roller derby with the Nipissing Roller Derby Girls, and my derby name is Trouble.
We'll get to that in a second.
Absolutely.
But first, let's find out a little bit more about you. Where are you from?
I originally grew up in the outskirts of Sudbury in a small town called Chelmsford, and moved out to the West Nipissing area about, I'd say about 14 years ago.
What was the reason?
The father of my girls lived out here, and we wanted to be closer to his family, and it was good for the kids. So I moved here and never left.
Oh, was it what kept you? Well, obviously it was because you're closer with family, yeah. Of course. But was that the only reason you stuck around West Nipissing, or did you find something here?
There was a lot of his family, and it was really good for my kids and the community. I really liked this community, how it was. Like, you know, you can walk anywhere in this town, and like where I was, where you got to kind of take a vehicle. And there was a lot of programs out here, a lot of community activities. There was a lot of stuff going on back then. So it was another reason to stick around.
So then when did roller derby start to kind of become a part of your life? Was it always a part of your life, or
no.
Was there a moment?
About two and a half years ago, one of my close friends that I met out in Sudbury prior to moving here had relocated out by Jocko, and she played with the Sudbury League, NRD League, and she hasn't been playing for a while. She just had a baby, and she's mentioned, you know, maybe we should look into derby out here. And once I found out she was interested, I was like a fly on poop. I was like, do it. We gotta do it. We need something out here for women and men, but women to, you know, get something else going, not just baseball or hockey. We need something new. So once, you know, I think I pushed her enough, she finally caved, and then she started it from scratch. I was right beside her along the way, helping recruit, and we started from nothing. And that's how I got into derby, and I haven't looked back since.
So it was just like the intrigue of something different to try?
Yeah, and it's also the fact that, like, I didn't know it at the time, but now that I look at it, it's if I would have known, it was like becoming part of a new family.
Really?
A completely new family of like 30 some women, some men, some husbands, and then you meet people from other cities, and they become your family because you all share this love for the same sport. So, yeah, it's one of the main reasons, you know, that attracts you. It's the sportsmanship, it's the play, the people you meet, the atmosphere all around.
So you hadn't have done roller derby before?
Never.
And it was just something new to try. You pushed your friend enough, and then you said you came on as kind of a recruiter or a coach. What was your capacity early on?
I basically helped her with recruiting, advertising. She led the way. She taught me everything I needed to know. And then I picked up some more friends from locally, West Nipissing, and we grew from there. And at first, there was no set board. There was no set job. So everybody was doing everything they could to try to recruit, and slowly people were slowly trickling in. Shout out to the Jocko Community Center for being the first one to giving us an opportunity to have a place to skate, and that's where everything started.
My capacity of roller derby is almost non-existent. It's that Drew Barrymore movie.
Whip it.
Yeah, I knew you'd know it.
Whip it.
I've only seen that movie, and that's my experience with roller derby. How accurate is that? I guess for the people that haven't seen it, it's basically this kind of bathtub design where you're skating around and you're trying to grab a ball to score points and you're just elbowing each other out of the way. Now, how accurate is that actually?
Maybe a good 30% for lucky.
See, this is why we get the experts, so we don't trust the movies only.
Well, that's the thing. Everybody sees the movies and they're like, oh, yeah, I want to do that. Well, technically, you're not elbowing people in the sport. This sport in general dates back in the 30s when it was first created. It was more for entertainment purposes, thank you. The French is coming out.
No worries.
And it was more of like a WWE type thing where it was preset. Men and women were skating together, no helmets. They already kind of knew who was winning. They could elbow people. There wasn't so many rules. Then it kind of died down. Then back in the 70s, it started picking up again. I believe the original startup of it becoming a sport was by a group of girls out in Texas. Mm. And you can either skate on a flat track or a track, an oval track that's banked as well. And from there, they started creating more rule sets and no elbowing, making more of a fair sport. And from there, it just kind of grew and grew all the way to the point that you can play Canada versus USA. It happens often.
There's intercontinental leagues?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh. There is. Like, if you can work your way up right now, even at my age, if I really put the work into it, I could have a possible chance to even try out for those leagues. You just show up and try out. And also, I noticed earlier you said something with a ball. There's no ball. So basically, it's
Let's go through roller derby for those that are just kind of interested. So how did the game set up? How many people on each team?
Well, first we start off with an oval track.
Okay.
And you have two teams, about 14 players each. And when you start your first jam, is what we call our first round, but our first jam.
Awesome.
You field five players of each team. Four of those players are our blockers. Our blockers are going to be doing some offense and defense all at the same time. Meanwhile, those two extra players, the one extra player of each team called the jammer, they have a star on their head. It's what we call panties. Looks like a helmet cover, but we're often talking about panties on the track.
That's fantastic.
So it has a star, and those are our point score. Those are the people that are going to make our points.
Okay, and how do they make the point?
So on the whistle, both jammers, opposing team, have to try to get through the opposing pack while they're trying to stop them. So our team would stop their jammer's jammer.
Yeah.
From getting through, and the opposing team would do the same for our jammer. But that's where the offense defense comes in. You can help your jammer get through, or you're stopping the other one.
Okay, so it's kind of like Red Rover in school.
Yeah, pretty much. No ball, no nothing, just you are the ball.
So you get, I love that, you are the ball. So you get through all of the, you call them blockers?
The pack. The blockers.
You get through the pack, that's a point.
Not necessarily. The point is for each jammer to get through the pack, make one full lap each. Now the one jammer that gets out first is called the lead jammer. The one that gets out first is the lead, and they have the right to call the game off at any time within the two-minute jam. So they can stop it whenever they want. They could get their points and stop it before the other person gets their points if they want. It's a strategy type thing.
Okay.
And by doing that, you put your hands on your hips and raise them up, all the way up and back to your hips. And that's how you call off your jam. Once you do your first round, then you can start collecting your points. So both get out first so we can determine who's the lead jammer, and then you can start scoring your points.
So the lead is the one that doesn't...
The lead is the only person, basically, that can call it off.
Okay.
That's the only thing. They both can score points. They just... The one that's lead is the one that can call it off.
And how many... And there's only one lead per round? Do they alternate? Okay.
One lead per round, but you have the chance of losing it. There's all kinds of rule sets, but you get in the penalty box, you lose your lead jam. Mm. Now that the thing's running for 2 minutes straight until it's called off by a referee.
So there's no elbows, there's no throwing.
No.
How do you stop the lead?
You block them.
So it's just like, so it's stopping the momentum, not as much taking them out, but stopping the momentum.
Yeah, you want to prevent them from getting to through your members, your team members, because if you're the opposing jammer and you're coming through, I don't want you getting through my pack. You're going to score those extra points. So we're going to block you and we're going to stop you. And yes, we are going to hit you. Now, when it comes to hitting and blocking, there's specific rules. There's no way that you're allowed to hit me in the back with your arms. That's a penalty. But you could come up to the side of my shoulder and hit me right with your arm. No chicken wing, but if your arm is glued to you and you're kind of, you know, shouldering somebody, that's completely legal.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thinks you could clothesline people, but that's the movies for you.
Yeah, that's exactly, which is why you want to get the authentic actual players in here. So I don't think, set up a date. So when did your games actually begin? So you got your league. Jaco Point, the community center, says you can use our facility.
Yes.
When did that begin? When did you start your games?
When it comes to games, there's two things. There's a bout, which is an official game, and then there's a scrimmage, which is like a pickup stick type thing.
Like an exhibition.
A scrimmage is like everybody from every level can just sign up their name, and then we'll roster whatever level, whatever teams. It doesn't matter, men, women combined, and we just play for fun. So an actual bout, I think we actually worked on a good year, because we started, I believe, in the fall, and then we worked till the summer, actually, and that's where we started picking up our bouts. We would have other leagues come down and skate with against us, or we would travel.
So, sorry, what date was this? Like 2000?
2 years ago.
Oh, that soon?
About two years ago.
Oh, the way you describe it, you started saying back in the 1940s.
No.
I'm imagining like the local league. Oh, that must have started years ago. This is recent.
Our league, Nipissing Roller Derby, basically was created about 2 years and a few months ago. But Derby itself was created way back.
That makes much
back.
More sense.
And then in the 80s, it kind of 90s started popping up more with leagues and bigger leagues to play within intercity and interprovince. And
then it grew to the intercontinental.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right, let's go back to the rules for a sec. So it was the scrimmage and the bout, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you have your lead, is it just your lead?
Lead jammer.
It was jammer. Okay. So you got your lead jammer. Their goal is to get through
and score as many points
as possible. Is that like the first round, or?
We do that throughout the whole 30 minutes.
Okay, so it's like a timed bout.
Yes, it's two 30-minute halves, and for the first 30 minutes, that's what we're doing. So we line up within two lines, we get in our positions, we wanna either offense, defense, the whistle is blown, both jammers try to get through, both teams try to stop that jammer with the star on their head, whoever gets through first gets the lead. Basically, you get to call it off. Oh, there goes the other jammer right behind them, and they're both coming around, and then that's where you start scoring your points, and you got 2 minutes to do it unless the lead jammer says, never mind, I'm calling it off before you even make points.
So it could either be strategic or like mind tricks. There's many different reasons.
Exactly.
Love it. So let's go back to 2 years ago then. Mm-hmm. You got the Jaco Point Community Center. Is that where you started doing the bouts and scrimmage?
No, Jaco Point's way too small for that. But it was wonderful to giving us just a small space to learn skills. Because think, most of us out here has never even put roller skates on and played, let alone hit people. So we had our president now, we call her Pinks, or Pinky, and she's the one who taught us everything. So we were in Jaco Point, we got all our gear, and we started basically learning the basic moves from stops and how to properly fall. That's the biggest thing.
So is this like from YouTube you were figuring out how to do this, or did you have like somebody that played in the past?
Yeah, we have our president, her name's Crystal. She goes by the derby name Pinks, and she's the one who was training us. Yeah, so she taught us everything, and we often would have some of the Subray, one of the Subray refs, Silencer, derby name, he came down and helped us out. So it's like a family thing. We had other people from Cochrane and Kirkland Lake, and we would help each other. So they came down and give us a lot of like training and helping us. It's just the basic moves.
Okay, so you're just in Jaco.
Just learning.
Getting your roots in the ground.
Just learning.
How long were you there for?
I'm not good with dates, but I'd say we were there a good 6 months or so, and then we raised enough money from fundraising and all kinds of stuff to rent, I guess you could say it was an old boxing garage, industrial place out in North Bay, and that we dubbed the Fishbowl.
I think I actually know where you're talking about. I grew up in North Bay. I think I know exactly the place you're talking about. Okay, so you call it the Fishbowl for like the...
Because our theme is around fishing, because we are in the Nipissing region.
Oh, okay.
We, one of our teams is based on, you know, the Bobbers. So we called it the Fishbowl. Our logo is a fish. So we went there and practiced there, but still wasn't big enough to hold an event.
Mm.
Not even big enough to hold all our members we were at. We were gaining members.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So then we reached out to the curling club, the Granite Club in North Bay, and they were so accommodating to allow us to have our first bout that I believe we sold out.
Oh, for your first
our
one?
Our actual first one, yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
And since then, by the time this is posted, you'll have already played your game. And that's where you've been since? Like, you got that deal, the handshake with the Granite Club, and you've been going back for game after game?
Yeah, and for a while we were practicing there, but it's difficult because the winter they do have their curling, and we completely understand. So now we kind of have it well set where we bout at the curling club. We do have open skates there on Sunday because the floors are all different, right? Everywhere you skate, the floors are different. They're mm-hmm. going to affect you differently. And we train and practice at the North Bay YMCA in the gym.
Oh, so like in the gymnasium or the...
In the gymnasium.
Okay. And with the skates being different, do you guys have kind of like a warm-up beforehand? Like you have a... Right now you have a game coming up. Is there a time you actually get to go and test the floors or at least get your body comfortable for them?
Usually for floors, like because most of us are used to the curling club already, but let's say like we went to Toronto this past weekend. We went to play against the debutantes with the league for Hogtown. And when you go to play a bout, they usually give you half hour to warm up with your team and to come out and test your floors. Because all the wheels we have on our roller skates can be all different durometers, hardness, softness. Some floors are sticky, some floors are slippery. The heat, temperature, everything changes, right? So it gives us that opportunity to go out and test those wheels. So we're not trying to break and then flying across the floor, you know.
What are some things, some issues in that half hour that have come up in the past?
The floors, it's like ice. I've been at a game where I got on there and literally did the splits and smacked my head and was like, what the crap is going on? But the floors was just a different cement and, you know, I think it was really hot, so it was more, you know, slippery. And so you change your wheels. So you have four wheels on each side of your, on each skate, basically. So you would change them up to a different hardness or softness to help you adapt to that floor.
So for the wheels, are they 2x2 or is it a line of four?
Oh, 2x2.
Okay, I think.
Yeah, old school roller skates.
I figured as much. Just wanted to clarify because I'm picturing it all in my head as we speak. You get a half hour and then I want to talk a little bit more about this league. So you guys start up your own club. You get the Granite Club involved and you've got a place to play some games. When did you actually be a part of a league where you could go to Toronto or go to Sudbury?
After those first few months that we were training and we started going to scrimmages, which is like kind of a game, but you're not playing with your entire team. So that one summer was the first time we went and played our bout.
All right, now I want to talk about probably my favorite fact about this is the names. These alter egos that you guys have. Yours is Trouble, you said.
Yes.
Let's talk about the origin of that. Where did your, what do you call them, skater names?
Derby names.
Where did your derby name come from?
I just, some of the members that I'm really close with joined with me, right? And we're just brainstorming. And I remember those little books I used to read when I was a kid, the Little Miss Sunshine and Little Miss Rain. They were like little round circles with the face and hands. And I was just like, that's cool. Like, you know, I try to be nice to people in general. Maybe on the track, I'd be the one that causes trouble. So it's your alter ego. So I decided to go with Little Miss Trouble. And then we shortened it down to just Trouble.
A lot easier to yell in the middle of a track, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
I'd like to know about the initiation process for the names. Is it just like, I'm called this or...
No, it's a name that describes you and what suits you. It's your alter ego. It's like you can be whatever you want to be. When you're on the track... You're not a mom. You're not a radio DJ.
You're not Tanya anymore. You're Trouble.
No, this is my purpose. I'm on the track. This is my name. This is what I do. Some leagues will give you a name. Some leagues will say it takes you time to earn a name. Or more like find a name that suits you, fits. great.
So that you're more of a laid back. Let's figure it out. Let's get you trained a little bit, and we'll figure it out as we go.
It's not the most important thing. We just want to make sure you're safe on skates and you can block and you're ready to play.
Speaking of, so we're about 20 minutes in. We may have already sold a couple people of like, yeah, I want to try this out.
For sure.
What do they do?
They would get a hold of us. We have a Facebook page. You would look up Nipissing Roller Derby. Send us a message, and we're looking for women. We're looking to possibly start a men's league and also looking for refs in that department. And we're now luckily starting juniors the Sunday after our bout next week. So you would go to Facebook. You would just send us a message. We would lend you some gear to at least try it on before you go out and buy some stuff. And once you got your gear, let's see you at practice twice a week.
If I didn't have the knees of a 70-year-old man, I would absolutely take you up on that offer.
We're always looking for announcers, you know.
Well, then, I've got no excuses. I'm going to have to reach out. I'm going to have to reach out on that one. All right.
For sure.
What was the other thing I wanted to bring up about? Oh, yeah. You mentioned briefly when we were talking about the alter egos, the safety aspect.
For sure.
So you've got the, you have that half hour for the wheels to make sure that your body is used to the terrain. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the safety for a little bit. What do you guys do to make sure that in case somebody is clotheslined or knocked down, they're not one game and done?
When you first start derby, the number one thing is skates on last, skates off first, meaning you're putting your helmet on, you're putting your wrist guards, your elbow guards, your knee pads, and then your skates. Because the minute you put your skates on and don't wear any gear, you have a chance of getting hurt, right? So that's the number one thing. And when you're playing contact, you have to have a mouth guard. So when we're on the track, that gear is crucially important. You're slamming onto concrete. So having that will definitely help you. I've seen where some girls had concussions from hitting the ground too hard. They rolled back without even getting hit. It happens. So we always, with bouts, we always have our first aid there. And we normally try to have somebody for like a first aid certified for our practices. We have nurses. We have, you know, people from all walks of life. So it pretty comes in naturally with them. So.
And luckily with the community like West Nipissing or with North Bay, the 6 degrees of separation.
Exactly.
You're going to find somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody.
Somebody knows something. Let's just fix it.
Look at them. What's broken? Now you know what to do.
Oh, yeah. Skate it off. You got it.
So how much does it usually cost to be in this league?
Okay. So every league has what we called membership dues. So you pay monthly dues. It depends where they're at. Luckily for us, for being at the Y, because our members are paying for their Y membership or they're paying their daily pass, we just require a $10 membership fee to help offset the cost because, you know, we do got to pay for posters when we're advertising and we do got to, you know,
and
get
travel.
Some tape. And traveling is all on us, actually.
Really?
The league does not pay anything for the traveling. We're lucky enough that the league will help us with some jerseys. It just depends what's in the pot of money for what we plan on doing. So it's all on us. So we will travel together. We'll all, you know, get together. We'll, like this past weekend, we rented an Airbnb and we were in there like, I think, 10 women and one man. One of the husbands joined along and I was like, you're crazy, buddy. But he enjoyed himself because it was fun to be with us.
Oh, I get the way you explain your camaraderie.
Oh, God.
It's something like out of a sitcom.
Oh, God. I swear if you put cameras in there, I could probably make a pretty coin with having that online with the humor in there.
I can see it already. Derby girls, come see on TLC.
Exactly.
Okay, so you have the $10 membership.
And then you would pay your membership for the YMCA. Mm-hmm. And then you have your gear to get. So your gear, you can sometimes get lucky and buy it secondhand, which happens. You know, some girls get pregnant or some girls want to retire or that they're done and they want to sell their gear. But other than that, there's some local companies. Like we partner up often with Rumbling Rage. This is another derby, a lovely derby girl that started a skatewear company where she sells the roller skates and that. And she'll often travel down to North Bay when we have a big intake so the girls can try on different skates and different stuff, or we send them there. And there's other ones throughout the country. Like there's one in Montreal, there's some out west. And you would order what we call a fresh meat package because, you know, you're our fresh meat. So that's usually how we know when they're the new skaters is when they got new skates on.
They don't have any scratches or marks.
Yeah, no, they're not used up. So some girls will check those out. Oh, that's a new skater. Okay. We know she won't hit us too hard, you know?
We go easy on that one to begin with.
Yeah. The other ones, you're going to hit her. But your fresh meat package will consist of your helmet, wrist guards, elbow guards, knee pads, and a pair of skates. And it can range anywhere from 200 and up, depending if you want to go high-end or whatever. But those are your best bet is a fresh meat package. So a new skater would come in after paying their membership. They would order their package, get their gear, and put them on and let's go.
So you have a game, 14th, 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. How many more do you have for the rest of the year?
This is actually our last year-end bout because we're normally busy in the summertime. That's when we travel and that's when we have games. So this is actually our last one.
So then the league is wrapped up, but you guys aren't done. You still do stuff throughout fall and winter.
Yeah, so like after a game, there may be some scrimmages we can go to out by Toronto or Ottawa. Some girls are like, oh, we got a game coming in. Nothing serious, come in and play. But other than that, we're done. We still go to practice. We still continue like nothing happens. We go to practice Monday and Wednesdays, and we still keep practicing.
Every week?
Except December, we're more lenient.
Because holidays and family.
Well, yeah, we're more lenient. We're lenient in general. As long as I see somebody show up once a week, I'm happy enough. But you should try to aim for maybe 1 week, two practices, 1 week, one. So your attendance is up there.
Mm-hmm.
But no, up until December and then January, we start all over again and new drills, new plays, new members.
So then you're accepting everybody every time so they can come in, do the practices in January.
Yeah.
And when do the games actually begin that the public can come and see?
Oh, usually in the spring. Usually we'll have one game in the beginning of the spring and then we'll have one near the end of the summer like we're doing now. We did have one earlier. And like when it comes to a new member, I want to mention, it's not like you're going to just come in and be like thrown into the game. There's what we call your test. You have to pass the test. And it's all the basic requirements, what a T-stop, how to properly fall. The one dreaded one is the 27 laps in 5 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah, my butt makes it around, but I'm not quite to the 27, but we're a little lenient, but yeah.
It's a matter that you try.
Oh God, I want to beat that floor up. It does not like me. I swear to God, gravity is not my friend.
It's the third competitor in this two-team match.
Oh God, yes, never stops.
So then they practice and they just kind of get familiar with the group.
Yeah.
They try and pass the test, and if they pass it,
we put them in with us in our original practices now because you're able to stop, you're able to get a hit. Maybe you're not top notch, you're just starting like a baby deer.
You're still fresh meat.
Yeah, but we're all still fresh meat technically because we're only 2 years in. But then we know you're going to be safe. So now that we're certain you're going to be safe and you can do most of these things, absolutely, come and skate with us. And that's what's great about this team is everybody has something to bring to the table. Everybody coaches differently. Everybody explains differently. So, I mean, explain it to you and you're going to be like, what? What did you just say there? I don't get that. But then the next girl may explain something and you're like, holy geez, that's what it is. So once you're in with us, it'll help even more. We're all helping each other. And then you're actually working towards our next game.
Wonderful. That's all I had to go for. Was there anything else you'd like to bring up about your league?
Definitely always taking in members. I'm hoping in the next year or two, I'd love to dabble into starting a men's league. I know there's a lot of guys that used to play when they were younger and now they play, I think it's called old timers hockey. We could definitely use some of yous, you know, because it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And you're not stuck wearing all this big hockey gear and carrying a stick. You just skate and hit.
Yeah, it's helmet, elbow pads, knee pads, skates.
Wrist guards, too, and a mouth guard. You don't want to lose your pearlies or get a concussion.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today.
For sure. Thanks for having me.